Hi, I'm Carmen LaBurge. Thanks for listening to the podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge.
Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow. I'm trusting in what you say. Today is the day. Today is the day.
Good morning. Indeed, today is the day. It is a Friday, April the 26th, 2019. You may be thinking of this as Arbor Day. If you're married to an arborist like I am, you're thinking of today as Arbor Day. If you are in Nashville, you are either thinking of today as the day for Q Ideas, or you are thinking of it as the second day of the NFL draft. And so go ahead and pray for me in advance. I have to drive downtown today because I'm attending Q Ideas. But there's like 300,000 extra people downtown today because of the NFL draft. And let's just say that those two groups of people have are having different conversations and different thoughts about things. And so there you go. It's an interesting mix of folks today downtown. But you may be thinking of today as the day of Avengers Endgame. For those of you who saw it last night, I know you're super excited, and I know that you want to tell everybody everything about it. Please do not spoil it for the rest of us. For those of you who are thinking that about none of those things, and instead you are thinking about the things that are ahead of you today, we want to prepare you during this hour for the conversations that may bubble to the surface. We certainly want to be continuing to pray for our brothers and sisters in Sri Lanka. If you missed my conversation yesterday with the managing director of Back to the Bible in Sri Lanka, that is posted at myfaithradio.com as yesterday's podcast for the show. Please go and pick that up. I also talked yesterday with Bruce Ashford. That was a stimulating and fun conversation. Anyway, it's just lots of we're having lots of great conversations here on Mornings with Carmen. We have a great lineup today. Leading off, we've got Matthew Hawkins. He and I are going to talk about what's going on with the Boy Scouts. We are also going to talk about headlines related to foster care and folks who have religious convictions related to where children should be placed. We will touch on abortion-related legislation across the country. And if we've got time, we will talk about the rejection of an atheist request to deliver a secular morning invocation. In the legislature. All right, all of that in the lead off here on Mornings with Carmen up next. Welcome back, or welcome to. Hey, Matthew Hawkins, welcome back. To Mornings with
Happy
Carmen.
Arbor Day and NFL Draft Day.
I know. Don't go downtown if you can avoid it.
Do not go downtown Nashville.
Go downtown. I know. Okay, so Matthew and I are both in the greater Nashville area. So we come to you from a place where spring has fully sprung. We want to give a shout out to those of you in the great north where the tulips are now beginning to bloom. That's what I hear from my friends in Holland, Michigan. And so we want to see your spring pictures. You can always text those to me at 877-933-2484. I want to see what's springing to life where you are. I appreciated the text that I got from a listener in Hartford, Connecticut. She so graciously texted us the picture of the green grass when we were all in Minnesota and it was covered up with snow. So if you are beginning to see signs of spring, I want to see those today. All right, so Matt, we got all kinds of headlines I would love to cover with you
so
today.
Many.
I know.
Been
so
here
many.
For weeks, so we've got a huge stack to get through.
Let's start with the Boy Scouts. I'll just tee it up. Okay. You know, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to set the ball on the tee, and I'm just going to let you roll. So, Boy Scouts.
Boy Scouts of America. It has been reported under oath that they have been working on an internal audit of their files, these so-called perversion files that are presumably to be made public or at least used in some cases. The files indicate approximately 12,000 victims of child sexual abuse at the hands of staff or volunteers of the Boy Scouts, dating back as far as 1944, I think was the number. This is any instance of abuse clearly is tragic. This is staggering for an institution that clearly by reputation is something that Americans have trusted for decades to help raise boys in this case and encourage and help boys grow into men. This is, you know, it's staggering. Frankly, nothing to besmirch the Boy Scouts generally speaking, but, you know, we probably aren't terribly surprised at this day and age that since the revelation of abuse in the Catholic Church and revelation of abuse across Southern Baptist entities and churches, turns out, you know, a civil institution like, or kind of a civic religionist institution like Boy Scouts is not not absolved, not inoculated against the potential for abuse among its ranks. This is pretty terrible stuff.
It is, and so I think we want to be, you know, quick to say, if you are a person who experienced, who is a victim of sexual abuse, really in any place at any time, we want to invite you to find someone safe to whom to tell that story in order that you can begin to be restored and healed. There is redemption on the other side of abuse, but abuse is real and you have to deal with it. And whether or not you recognize it, you are dealing, you are living with it as a trauma, and it is affecting your relationships. And so let me just say, we have covered this subject matter area in terms of sexual abuse, particularly the sexual abuse of children, several times here on the program. And if you would like access to some of those resources, just text me at 877-933-2484 or email me, carmen@myfaithradio.com, and we will send you not only the links, but we will send you direct access to ministries that can be of support to you in as you walk the path of recovery from child sexual abuse. Matt, moving on from there, let's talk about kids, right? We're still talking about kids, and we're talking about kids who are some of the most vulnerable in our culture, in our society, and those are kids who are in need of foster care. There's some foster care headlines, I would describe them, out of Philadelphia and Michigan. Tell us about those.
Sure. Out of Philadelphia, we have a federal appeals court ruling that basically directs Catholic Charities in particular and presumably other faith-based child welfare organizations to, if they participate in adoption and foster care, they must place children with LGBT couples, particularly gay married couples. This is something that religious groups, particularly religious organizations that share your and my view of human sexuality and biblical truth hold to, and we've traditionally resisted this in the era of gay marriage, and it's not going well in Philadelphia, although Catholic Charities, I'm sure, will continue to raise this issue. In Michigan, there was also a lawsuit, and based on losing a lawsuit, it appears Bethany Christian Services, on its own volition, has changed its own policy in Michigan in particular. Not the rest of the other states it functions in, but in particular in Michigan, it's going to cooperate with the state mandate to place children in LGBT homes if they participate. Now, the Bethany thing is discouraging to me because you have an organization basically voluntarily assenting to this, it appears. Now, I haven't spoken with anybody at Bethany, so I want to cut them a little slack, not knowing their entire strategy here, but it's certainly not a good sign. It appears that in the context of their private adoptions, they'll still be able to place as they desire. This policy, I believe, is in act only on basically children who come by referral of the state. So foster care and children who are up for adoption who first enter the state system and are then referred to Bethany Christian Services, Bethany would be obligated to consider LGBT homes for those children. So this is a issue, Carmen, that's going to pop up continually over the states. I don't have a map in front of me, but the last time I looked at the map of the laws related to this kind of thing, it's a patchwork across the U.S. It's something that will probably sadly be ripe for a Supreme Court ruling in the coming years, unless cooler heads prevail at state legislation.
It's almost as if I can hear Dr. Al Mohler like talking in the back of my head right now. I don't know if that, you know, like that's a little scary. That's a positive thing. And yeah. I hear him saying, look, any time that we commingle ourselves with federal funds, any time we commingle ourselves with federal agencies, we find ourselves on the receiving, they then dictate to us what we can and cannot do. Like there are strings attached to that funding. There are strings attached to, you know, being in a relationship with a federal agency. And when the laws of the land change, which they have in relationship to the normalization of gay marriage, the laws of the right. land have changed. It is normalized in the culture. It is going to become increasingly difficult for those who are religiously motivated on this front to say, well, because we disagree with the cultural normalization of same-sex marriage, we therefore disagree on these other things, like we will not place children in those homes. And the culture will then say back via its laws, via the government, oh, yes, you will, if you are going to right. continue to be in a relationship with us. So I do think that going forward, you know, the opportunity and the challenge for distinctly Christian organizations who want to do good things like place kids in foster homes and be agencies of adoption. Again, it's just going to have to be completely separate from federal funding.
Well, and that's the rub, Carmen, though, with adoption. This is one of those narrow issues where, as Christians, we probably agree that both the state and the church have interests and responsibilities in the adoption space. Mm. It's not just funding. It's not just government or federal funding. That varies from state to state. This has to do also with licensing, mm. whether an adoption agency can function at all. So it really may come down a lot of situations to whether a Christian adoption organization can do adoption. And by wow. that extension, whether or not Christian churches and believers will be able to participate in the adoption system that's not run in a way that's not fully facilitated by the state. So it's not just funding and funding here, it's licensing. The nuances of that vary from state to state. Certainly, you know, Baptist organizations tend to reject federal fund or government funds writ large, but other organizations have a little more comfortable relationship with that. You're right, their strings are always attached. But for even adoption agencies who are entirely private, this comes down to licensing and functioning. Mm. And so what the sad thing is that it's the children that ultimately suffer, children right. and birth parents. I mean, we're talking also about not just the institution of placing adoptions. We have a responsibility as citizens to protect the rights of birth mothers and fathers who choose to who would like to choose who will take care of their children and what kind of care and what kind of institution facilities provide that care. So by sidelining religious institutions, which, by the way, make up a significant portion of adoption and foster care agencies, we have great networks. We have a moral and scriptural obligation to care for orphans. So this ought to be in the Christian church's DNA. Certainly we can do better, but from the external factor, we need to be mindful of the state and their encroachment on what we ought to believe all citizens and all institutions ought to be on the playing field for. That's child welfare. And there's a federal solution for this, Child Welfare Provider and Inclusion Act. I don't believe it's been introduced in this session of Congress, but it was in the last one. And it basically just keeps the playing field open for all comers.
So I have in my mind the acronym CAFO. Am I barking up the right tree there in terms of where people yeah. might want to go for more information?
Sure. Was it a Christian adoption?
I will look it up during the break. How's that sound? I'll look it up during the break. Good. I know it's CAFO. I can't remember exactly what that stands for or how to find them, but I will find that during the break. I'll be right back with Matthew Hawkins. The same power that rose Jesus from the grave. The same. Indeed, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us, and we are continuing to celebrate Easter as we walk the Easter faith out into the world that God so loves, being redemptive agents of grace. So that's who you are today, and that's what you're out there doing, in case you wondered what you were in the world to do. That is it. All right, one of the guys who does that really beautifully well is Matthew Hawkins. He is here with me now, continuing our conversation about all kinds of religious liberty and life-related headlines. So, Matt, let's move to the abortion-related legislation across the country, because there's a lot of it.
Yes, there is. We have seen popping up from time to time, almost weekly, information about so-called heartbeat bills, which basically would ban or severely limit abortion or restrict abortion practices to the time prior to when a heartbeat is discovered, which can be as early as 6 or 7 weeks. We're seeing those bills populate frequently. That is a good news at the state level in particular. We've got a number of states across the country who've done that. It's kind of, you could think of it as a first trimester ban. So it's banned after 6 weeks in Kentucky, Mississippi, Ohio, and Georgia, I believe, is pending a governor signature. In the second trimester. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I was going to say, he's just saying any day now. He's going to sign it any day now in Georgia.
You were having technical difficulties. Texas has banned it after 22 weeks, and there's a point of viability skirmish in New York and Virginia. It's legal up to 25 weeks in Virginia. So there's a lot of moving parts at this. Keep in mind the political context of these. We recognize that in the American project, American states are, quote, the laboratory of democracy. It makes sense that this kind of legislation is road tested at the state level prior to attempting major momentum in the U.S. Congress. There is an equivalent legislation called the Heartbeat Bill at Congress that was introduced. It's probably been introduced multiple times, but particularly in the last session, I don't think it's been introduced in the House yet. I was frankly strategically a little skeptical of at the federal level, just because at the time it had not been successfully passed in a state and had not been road tested, to use my term. And so to push it at the federal level was, you want to put that stuff on the horizon and say, communicate to people this is where we're going, but at the same time to really try to push heavy momentum at the federal level prior to when we have some success at the state level was a cautionary tale for me. But now we're seeing multiple states introduce this, and we'll see if they pass and sustain legal challenge, because that will happen. And we could kind of read the tea leaves on this. Legislators at the state level may be a little bit motivated to push something that would make it to the Supreme Court with the new balance of the court, particularly with Judge Kavanaugh, where folks are at this point presuming a 5-4 friendly court to the life cause.
So these are stories we're going to continue to track. If you live in a state where this legislation is pending, or where it has been passed and not yet signed, or where it is being contested in the court, please let your legislators know how you feel about the preborn, and be a person who is, as a reborn person, be an advocate for the preborn, because they certainly cannot yet speak for themselves.
That's right. Messaging is really helpful on this, because, it's hard to deny life to something that has a heartbeat. So the messaging and the titling is super helpful. And also I'd encourage particularly Christians, let's think down the road. Let's assume that heartbeat bills are passed. Are our churches and other civic institutions prepared to support and care for our neighbors and their children who otherwise would have been victims of the abortion industry. These laws really could be a significant game changer culturally, and we need to be prepared to support our neighbors.
That's right, and that's sort of a pro-life for whole life and all life messaging as well. All right, friends, the organization that you're looking for is Christian Alliance for Orphans. That's CAFO. Alliance for Orphans, CAFO. .org if you want more information on how to support those who are religiously motivated in the foster care and adoption realm. And Matt, where are we sending people to connect with you on social media?
Sure. I'm at MT Hawk on Twitter.
All right. There you go. MT Hawk on Twitter. We love catching up with you. We will have
likewise
to talk next time about the Satanic Temple getting its 501c status, nonprofit status. I'm just going to have to hold that to next time. That'll be the tease. All right, Matt, thanks so much. That's MT Hawk. If you are on Twitter, you can follow him there. He is one of my favorite conversation partners on all things religious liberty and life. Thank you, my friend.
Happy Arbor Day.
Happy Arbor Day. Okay, friends, so it's not just NFL Draft Day and Arbor Day and Avengers Endgame Day. It's also the day you can ask anything you want of my best friend. Her name is Jessica Lally. She is not only live, but in studio with me today. And she is up next, and we're going to be taking your questions via the text line. That is 877-933-2484. So if there's something about me that you think you have always wanted to know, today's the day to ask it and get an honest answer, because Jessica, she cannot lie. So Jessica Lally up next here on Mornings with Carmen. Text your questions to 877-933-2484. This isn't just a where in the world is Carmen LeBurge. This is a what in the world do you want to know about Carmen Day? All right. Well, it's not Carmen Day. Arbor Day. Carmen on Arbor Day. There you go. That's up next on Mornings with Carmen.
History has shown that when Christians suffer persecution, for the most part, Christianity actually flourishes. This is Jim Garlow. One early church leader wrote, "Torture, grind us to powder. Our numbers increase in proportion as you mow us down." Don't misunderstand me. I would not trivialize or romanticize persecution. It's awful. Persecution and the threat of death will never squelch God's promises to his people, his grace to the righteous and unrighteous, and listen carefully, the accomplishment of his ultimate will. I can't overstate the fact that you and I have the Christian faith today because there were and are people willing to stand firm in the face of torture and death. The very evidence of God's hand to bless the church and the world. Christianity is not a social movement. It's God's plan for the salvation of the world. Stand firm in the faith. This is Jim Garlow.
Well, she sneaks around the world from here to Carolina. So it's Friday here on Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LeBurge. I am in studio today with my best friend since we were been 15 years old, which now is a very long time ago, Jessica Lally. Jessica, welcome.
Thank you. I'm so glad to be here.
So I've known you for a really long time. You have known me for a really long time. And because you are in town for Q Ideas, I thought it would be fun to have you in studio this morning and let you field questions that listeners might have about me.
Okay.
So we're taking your questions at 877-933-2484. You need to text those. Text your questions to 877-933-2484, and I will, if they're appropriate, read them, and Jessica will answer them. So, Jessica, I thought I would start with this. Let me just first say that you are a lover of God, and therefore you're a lover of people, and you're actually much better at this than I am. So I thought it would be fun to have you share with our listeners, you make the most of every moment. Like, you engage people really fully when you are with them. And so just talk about that. Talk about being fully present in the moment
with other people?
Well, I would say, and part of this is was inspired, Carmen, by listening to you and some of your interactions. But I love, I do love people. I get energized that way. And so I like to see the unseen, and they all have stories. And so it could be Renee from Fresh Market, who's going through chemo. It could be Malcolm, who's the checkout person. It could be the mail person. Sometimes it's just, people are just so interesting and they have stories. So.
The mail person, like the postal person.
Yes.
Not the male person as opposed to the female person.
Oh, right. The postman.
So, in some of those engagements, and I know this because, you know, like I've had the opportunity to hear you tell these stories. Why don't you just tell the, well, you have a little language for this, though. You refer to this as BOLO.
Oh, yes. It's a police term, but it stands for be on the lookout. Okay.
So I think there's a way to live where we are on the lookout for mm-hmm. other people, mm-hmm. particularly people who appear to maybe not be living in the fullness of the moment.
Right.
I mean, that when you say be on the lookout, you're not just, well, you're on the lookout for everything, everyone, all the time. Like, because you are a person who loves to engage other people and you have an endless curiosity. I actually yes. think that is... That's a real gift.
Okay.
And that's actually a gift that you and I share. Mm-hmm. So where I'm an introvert and you're an extrovert, you really never tire of the active engagement with other people. And so I really appreciate that and I enjoy watching you do that. Tell the story of so you went to a museum in Atlanta where mm-hmm. you live. And but before you got in there, I guess the city of Atlanta has placed these pianos around. Strategic locations, and there was a guy playing the piano. Pick
oh,
it up
yes.
there.
Okay. So I was at an event at a museum in downtown Atlanta. I decided to take the MARTA, and coming back to get on the MARTA.
Which is like the public transportation.
Oh, yes. And coming back to get on the train, I noticed this man playing the piano. Yes, I'm doing the visual. Nobody
well,
can
I know,
see.
And she's pounding the table, and she's knocking it with her jewelry. So okay. I'm trying to give her some like signs to stop doing that.
So this man is playing the piano. And they have strategically placed pianos around the city. And so I am just interested because he's quite good. And he has a couple of bags with him and it appears that he could be homeless. Anyway, we had a great conversation. And in the conversation, I found out that he's staying at this homeless shelter. And just by chance, I was going to be talking to that homeless shelter that afternoon about something. And I said, oh, would you mind having some coffee with me to give me the inside scoop on it? I mean, literally, he could give me the inside scoop. What kind of divine chance was that? So we went into the coffee shop inside the museum and we started talking. And then come to find out, he could potentially have a place to stay, but he has to get this paperwork signed and faxed over to the housing place. Okay.
Right.
And he's like, well, I've got to, you know, do all this. Anyway, I just thought there's got to be a faster way than him running around town getting this fax somewhere. So I asked the lady at the desk if she would print something out for me and
fax it.
And well, yes. No, I got him to take a picture of it and he emailed it to her. But it was just this one step that needed to be done.
That you were in a position. So this is what I love about this story. This we often talk here on the program about privilege mm-hmm. and about, frankly, racial bias in our communities and the bias against people who are poor.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the truth of the matter is you as a into everyone's business white woman. I don't know how else to say that. It's really positive, but
okay.
It doesn't sound positive.
Okay.
But it, yes, you as a person who are willing to insert yourself in a positive way for positive good, you found yourself not only willing and able, but in a position to ask the person at the desk at a museum to do something for you that you were pretty confident you could get her to do. And that guy was not in a position to ask the same thing. He would not have gotten the same response had he been standing there by himself.
No. And it did. You do realize, okay, you've got a different way of connecting or appearance or whatever. But I thought if we could just get this done, how much quickly he could go get into regular housing and out of the homeless shelter. Anyway, it did end up working out. He did get in. And we engaged with him over a period of time. My husband got involved and that was fun, too.
So again, Jessica Lally, who happens to be my best friend, but is also just a beautiful living demonstration of the gospel of Jesus Christ, marching around out there in the world, being not only a doer of good, but a liver of good. She's in studio with me today, and it's your opportunity. We're going to just call it like Ask Anything Friday for the next few minutes. Okay. It's Ask Anything Friday. It's also Arbor Day. I don't know if you want to ask questions about my husband, the arborist. I'm happy to answer those. But Jessica's here to answer your questions about me. If you have something that you've been thinking, you know what, I'd like to ask Carmen's best friend this question, you can text it to 877-933-2484. And Jessica and I will be right back. I'm going to let her ask me to tell a story as well. There you go. We'll think about that during the break.
Marnie's on, too.
We'll be right back.
Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
She drove from Nashville to Norway.
Jessica Lally's in studio with me today. I am Carmen LaBerge. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. We are taking listener questions during this segment. But they're supposed to be kind of personal. So Jessica's actually Facebook Live-ing this, and we have had some questions on Facebook Live. Oh, here you go. Here's a actual listener question on our text line. Thank you to our friend in, I'm looking for who the 860 area code is. That's not on my list. Okay, 860 area code person, welcome. This person, Jessica, says, Jessica, tell us about a time you witnessed Carmen best worshiping God.
Okay. This might not be a typical answer, but I could show a demo.
Well, you could show a demo, but this is radio.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. Okay. So anyway, Carmen was on a mission trip to where in Africa?
Malawi.
And resources there are very scarce. And so they were using duct tape for a project. And what happened? There were some pieces left over?
Right. So, you know, here in America, we would pull off a large strip of duct tape and then we would tear it off into the pieces that actually worked for us. And there were a couple of leftover pieces that we would in America wad up and throw away.
Right. And so this story just comes to my mind because it comes to my mind because how she utilized the duct tape is on her Bible.
Well, we weren't going to be right. It was going to like break their hearts that we were going to waste it.
Yes.
And so my Bible was in my, you know, backpack. So I pulled my Bible out and I simply put the duct tape on my Bible. And it's still there today. And that's from 2009.
In the shape of a cross.
It just happens to be in the shape of a cross because those were the two pieces that the links of the pieces. One went sort of around the whole Bible and the other is a shorter piece that sort of just goes down the front. So I do love it. And it does keep me mindful of my connection to those people and what I experienced there.
Yes. I love that story.
So, Jessica, you do something at your house every Christmas season called Garage Nativity. Yeah. I'd love for you to share with people about Garage Nativity.
Okay, so this idea was started by another friend when our children were young, and it's a way to engage the neighbors and their children in a meaningful way at Christmas when we're struggling with all of the other than Jesus opportunities. And so you keep it low key. This is not a production, but you send out an invitation on email or flyers in the mailbox, which kids would like to be in this nativity play. You have it in your garage, literally, or in your backyard. And maybe you order some costumes from Oriental Trading, or you have some leftover, you know, fabric and
or pillowcases,
yes,
like any robes. It all works.
And so people are excited about their children having opportunity to do something meaningful. And then you invite the neighbors. And you keep it low key. You're not trying to have big props or anything. And you invite the neighbors, the widows, the married, unmarried. It's just a great way to connect everyone. And so in some years we've done pizza afterwards or hot chocolate. Some of our neighbors have huge, other friends do this and they have sometimes maybe 30 kids in there. So you might have 10 angels. But we moved to making it narrated more than having the kids talk because we don't need to have rehearsals. And that way the kids can come and when prompted, they walk out, they say, here's Mary. And it's really fun. We love it.
I love it, too. It's really a way to let your neighbors know what you believe and include them in the story and also just have a wonderful connecting event in your neighborhood. Okay, a listener from the 952 area code, which I happen to know is the Twin Cities, text us this. Carmen, ask Jessica, how did you get started doing this? And also, Jessica won't know the answer to this, but I can tell you. What technology is being used that allows you to have a remote studio and have it sound as if you're still right here in the Twin Cities? Yes, that is Paul Perreault, the magician there in...
It's not me personally, yeah. No!
So, Paul connects with me via something called Comrex, and it's a small... I don't know. It's about the size of an old tape recorder, and I plug my microphone into it, and it hooks up to the internet. It's this is an Ethernet line that we're on right now. And so that's the technology. And then Jessica was actually involved in how did Carmen get started doing this. So, Jessica, how did I get started doing this? I think they mean radio.
Is it the buffet line in Washington, D.C.?
Sounds about right.
Okay.
Yes.
Tell that?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So Carmen and I were at a leaders gathering in D.C. a couple of years ago for, was it Together?
Yeah.
Together 2016. This big event they were planning on the mall, which was awesome. And we just by chance ran into a friend named Joe Battaglia. And we got to talking about what Carmen was doing, and I've always had a passion for her voice to be heard by more people. And we started talking about radio and how that might look. And so we just started marching down that path, and God opened for us and for you. And I just think it's been a huge blessing. The big, I'm thinking you went on air pretty soon after that.
Yeah, April of 2016 is the first time that I sat down in front of a radio microphone. Which seems a little crazy now, I've never even been on somebody's radio show, let alone, thought about talking for an hour, which is what we were doing at that point in time. We had an hour at noon, and then graciously, just a few months ago, Faith Radio thought it would be a good idea for me to move to mornings, and so here we are, and I love it, and I hope you are enjoying it. My 860 listener texted back with a big smiley face and a stuck-out tongue saying, Connecticut. So that is our Hartford listening area. Thank you so much for letting us know that you're out there and you're listening. So Jessica's Facebook Living this, and we've had a question on Facebook. And what is that question, Jessica?
Something about a snake story. I don't know about that.
Okay, so I'm going to quickly tell the snake story, which might leave Jessica running and screaming from the studio. So I just am warning you in advance. So Jessica, on Maundy Thursday, Matthew got out of school at early. Before noon. Mm-hmm. And so I picked him up. We came home. And so he's out there with his chickens because, that's how he would choose to spend an afternoon.
Right.
And he comes screaming back to the house. Bloody murder screaming. Snake! Snake! There's a snake in the chicken coop! I then followed him out to the coop as if I were prepared to do something about that, which we both know is not true.
Right.
Completely not prepared to deal
no
with
tools.
That. No. And except my phone, my chosen tool of the day. When we arrive at the coop, I realize we're not talking here about a snake that I could deal with actually at any emotional level. This is a huge snake, and it's all wound up in one of the nests, and it is swallowing eggs whole. And you can see them. You can see that he is swallowing eggs, chicken eggs, whole. So he's a big snake. I know. You can see them moving down his body. It was so gross. He's digesting. That was nasty.
No.
Part of his body's hanging out over the edge of the chicken coops. He's got a long tail. Oh,
no.
It was horrible, horrible, horrible. So I get my husband on the phone and I say, Jim, what should I do? And this is when my husband says, well, you shoot it in the head. I know. Which requires me to know all kinds of things that I frankly, in that panicked instant, don't know. How to open the gun safe. Let's just start with that, right? So it's a long list of then training over the phone. And let me just say that this ends with the crushing the head of the serpent on Maundy Thursday, which is a totally spiritual exercise.
Wow.
It's a redemptive story.
You're anointed.
No. I did learn this. You can scream your fool head off. And if you live on 45 acres away from your
neighbors, nobody's coming. Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, before we forget, I do want you to tell the rental car story. If you have time.
Oh, we don't have time. Dude, we're out of time. You're going to have to come back and we'll tell the rental car story next time.
Okay.
All right.
All right. But
will you come back?
Sure.
All right. I love it. Oh gosh. Sorry, Ann Hill, who's texting in. Jessica, please share a time when Carmen did something really embarrassing. We are out of time. And so we will not be able to cover Carmen's really embarrassing moments. All right, friends, you are listening to Mornings with Carmen. When I come back, Adam Holtz will be here, and we will be talking about Avengers Endgame. I know you've been waiting for that. You're listening to Mornings with Carmen. I'm Carmen LaBurge. We'll be right back. Okay, friends, so wrapping up this hour, I love the questions that you guys are continuing to ask, particularly those who are, like, asking technology questions. I'm absolutely going to let Paul Perot answer you. And thank you again for those questions. And, again, from our friend in Hartford who says, I have a 45-minute commute through Hartford weekday. You and Faith Radio are a blessing. Be encouraged. God is moving here. So let's be praying today for our friends across the country who live in communities that may not be as densely populated with Christians as the communities in which you might be living. And just know that you've got brothers and sisters in Christ all across the country in fellowship with you, joyfully acknowledging who Christ is and encouraging you today in your faith. I hope you know that, and I hope you revel in that. I certainly do. Okay, someone is asking if you could have a reenactment of the snake story. Well, it'd be a little hard to reenact on radio, so we might have to find a way. I don't think there's going to be a reenactment. The crushing the head of the serpent is, it was quite an experience that I don't want to repeat. Okay, it is Friday. It is Arbor Day. It is NFL Draft Day. But maybe most importantly for a lot of people across the country, it is Avengers Endgame Day. And so up next, Adam Holtz, right here on Mornings with Carmen.
Thanks for listening to this podcast of Mornings with Carmen LaBurge from Faith Radio. If you haven't, you can subscribe to automatically receive the podcast through iTunes or the Google Play Music app. That way you never miss an episode. It's also available anytime at myfaithradio.com.